Man, why does my microphone have dust on it? It's been a while. Jay.
Yeah.
Do you remember how to do a show?
Hold on. Let's see here.
Intro.
This work, uh-huh. Patrick. This is.
No? Right. Yes, right. It sounds there. Amazing.
Great.
Absolutely awesome.
There.
Don't
no. there. All right. Okay. Okay.
Wait. There we go. All right. Okay. Wait. There. Oh, yeah. Got it. All right. Got it. Got it.
Do you remember how to do the intro? Because. You know.
Hey, welcome, folks, to the Blind Bargains Cast, episode number 100.
Hey, hang on. I got to cue the song up. It broke.
Oh.
Hang on.
Okay, go. Sorry. I'll do this like Joe.
Hey, welcome, everybody, to the Blind Bargains Cast, episode 109.
Not from a room in Reno.
Blah, 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 Doctor Who, blah, blah, blah.
New Doctor Who. New female Doctor Who. That's the big news, everybody. New female Doctor Who. See you on episode 110.
Blah, right. Blah. That's
hey, great. Everyone, it's Blind Bargains Cast, episode 109. It has been a while since we have been in your ear holes in this kind of format. We are back from our convention.
A while.
That's right. Okay.
A while.
That's what I said. Cool whip. That's right. We have also with us someone who did an amazing job on our convention coverage, Miss Chancey Fleet. Welcome back to the program, Miss Fleet.
Hi, it's great to be here again.
And also, big props to Mika White, who did an amazing first-time convention ever recording job at ACB 2017. I was so
that
happy.
Was
that was really, really cool. And so if you haven't heard all of that, please do go back to all the stuff that is in the July feed. And hey, before we go any further, we want to thank, of course, our good friends at Humanware.
That's right, the brand don't touch. The future is so close, you can touch it. You can learn more by going to www.humanware.com, and we'll tell you more about that a little later in this episode.
And we're going to tell you a little bit more about the conventions, kind of our thoughts, informal wrap-up show. It's so weird this year with the conventions having so much space between them and the time that we had to post things that we thought we'd just kind of touch on things that have happened. The Kool-Aid has worn off. And reality is set in, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But one of the things I want to get to first about reality and about Humanware, the Victor Reader Trek interview is one of the most listened to pieces of audio that we have ever done. And that's thanks to all of you spreading the information and the bring it out through social media and passing it around. A funny story, we kind of got server slammed when we were going to do that. Jay posted it from the booth. We went to dinner, went to go do the AT showcase and the game show, and saw a whole bunch of things on social media, which was really, really fascinating and interesting, but also scary at the same time. Greg, of course, thinks this is much funny, and he reminds us all that there's over 100,000 Victor Reader streams out there. So thank Greg. That's awesome. But big props to everybody for being a part of that, and we really do appreciate it. There are some breaking news things we need to get to before we start talking about ACB and NFB. And this one right here up the top, wow, talk about you never see it coming. Breaking news, everyone. Nope. Jamie from NVDA is moving on to Mozilla.
Yeah, Jamie Tay, the longtime co-founder of NVDA, of course, with Mick.
Over 10 years, yeah.
Has it been that long? Yeah, it's really been a long time. You know, they started this thing out, like you said, over a decade ago. And had he left early on, I would be really scared about the future of NVDA. But what they have done over the past decade is really build things up. There are now two other staff members, Quentin and Reef, who are on board, as well as many other code contributors. I follow the NVDA, the nightlies and the contributions to see what's coming in. And there's a lot of stuff from a lot of other people. So if they choose to actually hire a new person, they certainly could do that. But even aside from that, NVDA ain't going anywhere at this point. I think those two have set up things. Yeah, will there be perhaps a little bit of time to kind of build up? Sure. But I'm sure Jamie didn't just spring this on Mick yesterday. Those two are, no, they've pretty much been best friends forever.
Yeah. From what he said in his own post.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it might take a little bit of time to rebuild a little bit, but NVDA isn't going anywhere. There's nothing I would really worry about here. What do you think, Chancey? Is it something to worry about, or is it just kind of a moving on thing? And
yeah, I think that's right. I think it's certainly a loss that's going to be felt by the community, but in another way, it's a gain because he's going to Mozilla and he has an eye on advancing Mozilla accessibility and kind of said in his farewell post, hey, I'll be in a position as an NVDA contributor who works at Mozilla to perhaps make changes on both sides. And as far as open access to the web, I think it could be a good thing for NVDA users.
Essentially connecting two open source pieces of software in Firefox. And you know, Chrome has come a long way as a web browser, but Firefox is not going away anytime soon. In fact, they claim the latest version that just came out, they say, well, it's now less memory intensive and faster than Chrome again. So those are the two that I have.
I have many things to say about the latest version of Firefox, claim. Which that's is not working well with Zoom Text 10.1
That's why I said they claim.
But here's the thing, right?
Yeah.
Before you go down that path, Mozilla itself has actually just had a big changeover. They're manning up, like most of the companies out there, Amazon, Microsoft, all the talent acquisitions that are going on. But Mozilla itself is making changes. They've talked about Firefox as a service, doing certain things that would draw income because a lot of their income comes from Google. But that's why you were about to go down the Chrome pathway.
Right.
You know, yeah. Google could stop funding and that would cause a real big issue for Mozilla. So bringing people on board over at Mozilla is a good idea. Bringing talent on board because it allows them to get more donations, and they're doing stuff with crowdsourcing speech recognition. They have that going on that came out last month while we were away. So I don't know that Mozilla is super stable because they're going through a situation of upheaval internally and as far as their projects go. I think bringing people on like Jamie is a good idea. To get to something else, though, and let me dust off this old podcast chestnut. If you're concerned about NVDA, donate. Donate your time. Mm-hmm. Donate your ability. Donate your code. Donate your money. Donate. Because this is put up or shut up time. You really want to feel strongly about an enthusiast screen reader that is up against some heavy odds against giants in the playground between VFO, Microsoft, Apple, Google, what have you. This is the time. If you believe in the cause, you believe in the product, then definitely donate anything you possibly can. It doesn't always have to be money, but if you want NVDA to stick around thrive and flourish, now's the time to step up.
Yep.
I think one of the most important things that you can do if you want to support the project and you're not a real technical contributor, you know, you're not going to write code and you don't necessarily have a ton of money, although every little bit of money helps, now is a really excellent time to share NVDA as a resource with adults and kids and families, because what we're seeing is things like, for instance, VFO getting JAWS on federal quota, which means it's going to be introduced to a ton of K-12 students. And as we all know, the screen reader that you choose early on is often the one that you stick with. Whether or not that's a rational decision as things evolve.
You never forget your first.
And you don't.
That applies to screen readers.
Sadly. Didn't work so well for Saratech, though. you're absolutely
10
right.
Years ago.
Even if you don't code, even if you don't follow the betas and you're not able to contribute in a technical way, if you can contribute your expertise and teach someone else how to use NVDA and how easy it is to get it up and running, I think when people hear about a free and open source screen reader and they're not really technical people, there's kind of a fear factor and this kind of assumption that it's going to be less stable and that it's not going to be a polished experience. And the best thing you can do is sit with somebody for half an hour and help them have a good first experience with NVDA.
No.
Yeah. Sharing resources, sharing that is another way of contributing.
And I look at I find it interesting. There's some agencies that say, oh, we don't want to install this because it's open source, which I think is kind of backwards because, well, if it's open source, you can look at all the code where you can't look at all the code in JAWS. But aside from that, I have seen some instances. For instance, I was at an office, a state of Michigan office, where they had some business forms that weren't very accessible. And I was actually asking them about that. And they brought their tech guy over and he brings up NVDA. I'm like, well, where'd you get that? He's like, well, it's standard. We can pull it up on any government computer. I'm like, that's really cool. I didn't realize, you know, so they just kind of have it as their one of their toolkit items of software that they can bring up and it's available. So getting more organizations, whether it's a library, you know, it's really simple for a library to set this up to have it so it's on every computer or other systems. And yeah, sometimes you might have to go through some legal hoops and things like that. But there's a lot of possibilities just to kind of share NVDA. And the latest update, you know, of course, you can buy the voices from us in other places, the Eloquence and Vocalize, but you also now can use, in the latest version that's coming out, you can use what's called the One Core voices. These are the newer voices that are with Windows 10, and you can use those with NVDA now too. So you aren't stuck with eSpeak if you don't want to be.
And look at how this happened while we were gone. NVDA tapping into the Windows OCR engine, which is pretty killer, actually. That is one of the bigger stories that happened while we were away. That has some major implications, especially for systems that are running Windows 10. But NVDA is great for those organizations that are not running Windows 10, because Narrator is really coming on. But for those organizations who aren't looking at moving to Windows 10 for cost, for equipment, for whatever reason, NVDA is kind of a good situation to look into things. And we'll touch more about the screen reader fun when we get to NACB NVDA. I like that. See what I did there? That's great. I'm rusty. We've got some other things to cover here really quickly. Chiancy wrote an article about my favorite subject of late, screen reader detection.
Let's talk about this. I don't really want to gloss over this. I want to give this a few minutes. So yeah, Chiancy, why don't you go ahead and explain what's going on here.
Okay, so if you've already read the article, forgive me, but I'll recap. So I was super excited that Amazon Alexa had come to the iPhone Amazon app. They call it internally the Amazon shopping app, but it's the one that just goes by Amazon in your iPhone. And this kind of feature debuted back in March, and I've never had an Amazon Echo. So one of my actual official goals for myself for the year at work was to dive deeper into conversational interfaces and learn about them and learn how to support patrons and present about them. So just in time for that, out came Amazon Alexa for iPhone. And I got pretty decent at working with it. I used it for all the things you use Alexa for, getting the news, setting timers, etc. Yeah, I actually did. I installed the Jeopardy skill and like a text adventure game skill. It was pretty neat. It was more fun than I was expecting to have. And I also installed the Amazon Alexa app so that I could show people how to use it to do things like sync up with their Google calendars. And I was pretty favorably impressed. And I was also quite happy that kind of the big three, Alexa, Siri, and Google Assistant, were all available on iOS and were all reasonably usable, because we support all kinds of technologies at the library, but tons of patrons have iPhones. And it was important to me to be able to demonstrate the big three on a device that I had handy, that lots of people had handy, and also to explore Alexa in particular in a way that didn't involve bringing like extra always listening hardware into the library. So I got ready. I advertised a workshop in the newsletter, and then I kind of walked away. Went on to other priorities, waiting for the workshop to roll around. And sometime during that time, something changed. And I am ashamed to say that I opened the Amazon shopping app for my little pre-flight check the morning of the workshop, which was a terrible mistake on my part.
But you would expect it to work.
Yeah, but don't do that. You're a blind person. Like, don't expect anything to work.
True.
So I opened this app. And the voice search button, which is how you used to query Alexa, is just straight up gone. There's some other barcode product scan button where it used to be, and there's just nothing else. And so I ran around the office, like bothering people. Can you see a microphone button? No, nobody could. I borrowed other people's iPhones. I had somebody check on their Kindle Fire, and like they had their voice search button. But they weren't available to come in and help me in the workshop. So I had to do like the most awkward thing and like stand up in my workshop for the part where I was going to demonstrate Alexa and literally play a podcast of someone doing it correctly. And having it work and just say, hey, sorry guys, this totally disappeared. I have no idea why. I'm going to get answers, but it's not going to be on your time. Let's answer general questions and move on. It was like one of the most awkward, like cringy, cheesy things I've ever had to do in a workshop.
Because you were on a schedule. We're going to do a hosted event on Alexa on the iPhone.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And you weren't really. Yep. So we got through it. But then I started looking into it, doing more research. I called all kinds of Amazon tech support. Nothing. I spoke to tons of people on Facebook. Nothing. And then finally, a trainee that works in our department posted to Applevis, and someone wrote back on the forum. Somebody named Joe. Was it you, Joe?
I'd probably be saying things about Google Now / Google search at this point.
Yeah.
So this other super helpful Joe said, it's there for sighted folks. And if you're not sighted, it's not there. So we did some testing. And what they do is there's actually two forked behaviors. So the first one is VoiceOver running when the Amazon app starts? So if you want to see the voice search button, you close your Amazon app, you turn off VoiceOver, you ask Siri to open the Amazon app again, because you can't.
Right.
And then you ask Siri to turn VoiceOver back on, and there's the voice search button. So they're running a screen reader detection at app launch, kind of like that lady that when you go to her house, she like hides all the glassware if there's a blind person coming. Right. Let's just rearrange things a little bit and make it easier and better for
we'll make it
our
safer.
Guests. Yeah, let's.
And your workaround is very similar to what happened earlier this year with Twitter and night mode. If you launched Twitter with VoiceOver, you could not get to night mode. The only way I could turn night mode on Twitter at the beginning of the year, Jay, you remember this, is I had to turn off VoiceOver and then work my way over to settings and then turn it on. But if I closed the app or if the app refreshed, I had to do the workaround all over again because Twitter's screen reader detection was such that it figured I didn't need night mode. I mean, you're blind. Why would you need night mode? And myself and BGFH and a couple of people wrote in and said, well, you know, we're low vision users who rely on speech for expediency, efficiency, what have you. And they added it. The Twitter team listened to what we had to say. And we said, you know, it's also good for dyslexics and others. And sure enough, about 2 weeks later, they added that back in and backed off. But I think there is still some screen reader detection element going on at Twitter.
Okay. Well, what's the second?
So the second thing, and it's worth kind of pausing there to note that that's the most obvious change.
Sure.
There might be more changes that we're not detecting. One of the call center agents that I talked to, I actually convinced her to try it on her phone. And when she loaded Amazon with VoiceOver on, she kind of gasped and said, oh my God, this is not the app. This is the website.
Mm.
I don't know what that means, but that's a data point. So
like it was doing a wrapper? Like it literally went to the web, did the scrape and pulled it in, kind of what Microsoft was doing with Windows 10 for a while with apps.
I'm not sure, but that's a good possibility. So let's say that you finally get the voice search button to show up and you're running VoiceOver and you do a voice search. There's another detection, and this detection is really hard to beat because it's every time that you query, every time you do the voice search query. If you're running VoiceOver, you get the old voice search that we had prior to Alexa coming since 2014.
Just so
like
you can finding
search
products,
for a product. Yeah,
right.
Or I think you can track a package.
Okay.
And then if VoiceOver is off, the first time that you query with VoiceOver off, it asks if you'd like to opt into Alexa. And then subsequently, if you have, it passes you through to Alexa and you can have a nice chat with her.
Have you been given any reason?
No. So I think there's a couple possibilities. One of them is that the developer is naive about VoiceOver users and doesn't understand that someone might want to use both VoiceOver and voice search. And I really, really hope that that's the case. The other possibility is that for some reason, perhaps because there was an accessibility problem that they didn't have time to fix,
they will just hide it and they won't know what's there.
Hide it away and who would notice, right? So it's really worrying. They have gotten back to me today and said it's a known issue, but they haven't added anything to that.
Okay. And to take this further, you know of this because it was there and then it was gone.
Right.
Had it never been there for you, for VoiceOver users, you may have never known this was a deal.
Unless I happened to be working with a sighted person and noticed that our two screens
right, or you saw a demo online, or you know whatever other reason, you know it could have happened. But I mean, part of the reason you even know it's there is because it was there before.
I want to read a comment from Lynette, who's in my city, and commented on the article, and it says, "When first I encountered this anomaly, I thought I was going a bit bonkers. Thanks for bringing this issue into the cold light of day where it belongs. After several unsuccessful attempts, I finally gave up trying to access the feature. I, too, had planned to show it at an information sharing group that I lead. I, too, will call Amazon about this horrendous and unfair piece of coding." So basically, screen reader detection that's done in this way makes it very possible that we won't know anything's wrong, but it also subtly undermines our ability to A, plan ahead and rely on our plans without double checking and triple checking, and B, to collaborate with sighted people. Because sometimes people, you know, I'm supporting someone in my family, or I have someone that's a primarily visual user that I'm supporting, and I want to talk to them about their screen. I don't want to talk to them about mine. And this type of code assumes that my only interaction with a device is when I am kind of in the driver's seat. It does not envision me as a family member or a teacher or a supporter of any kind. And it just makes some really insulting assumptions about what's in my user story, I think.
It's a very bad precedent.
Testing, remediation, knowing what's working, what's not working, what's a correct
behavior,
looking at documentation to make sure that you're doing it correctly. But if those pieces are not even there, this plays into why some people hate using the blind version of Amazon, the Amazon that was designed for our screen readers, blah, blah, blah.
I don't use it. No.
I don't use it because I have the feeling of what Chansey just said. I have a feeling like that's not updated. And
it's like
I'm
the old text-only versions on websites, which were never, you know.
But you know what? There are some times when arguably a tweaked interface can be more fun or more pleasant to use. I think Winston Chen's VoiceDream Reader is a good example. The player controls are slightly different when VoiceOver is on because they introduce some findable on-screen buttons to control playback. And those same things are controlled with taps when VoiceOver is off. But you know what? He puts all that in the welcome message and he documents it extensively. And that is...
Is there a setting to turn it off?
I'm not sure. I think there is not. You know, and I think that there is an argument to be made that forked interfaces are never okay, or there's also an argument to be made that they are, and that sometimes they improve diverging experiences. But whatever you do,
I hate access with gutter guards, or guardrails. I hate that so much as a trainer. I can't even tell you.
But okay, tutorial screens. There's some people. And I've actually recommended this a couple of times when I do consulting. Some people will say, hey, we see you're running VoiceOver. We have special accessibility things we'd like to tell you about. I think that is sometimes can be a good approach to introduce an app if it's done in a way that's not too intrusive, in a way that you can just easily dismiss it if you don't want to read it.
Well, as an example, if it told you that custom actions were available, right? They've gone through
which is already built
time.
In. But not everyone knows
again,
how that.
Some people don't know that custom actions are active or not active, or even like it's the same way that Apple has with Peek and
Pop. But if there are non-standard gestures, how would you want?
Or if it's repurposing the Magic Tap.
Yep.
That's good to know.
Yep.
Or like the KNFB Reader does the volume, of course, you know, volume down for taking, I mean, some other apps like that. Now,
If you've done something for efficiency or something that you think is helping the user and it's not forcing you down a rabbit hole or a salvo or a cattle chute, that's different, right? Because you've done something that you think is going to be helpful and you're making the user aware of it. But to get to Chansey's here, situation here, not knowing or having a guided access that has no ability to know some of this without sighted help is just not right at all.
And the other thing I am totally in favor of, and I'm not sure exactly how this would look, about having some sort of thing under VoiceOver settings that says report my VoiceOver status to apps as a toggle.
It should be a privacy setting, like microphone, camera.
Right. And really make it an app specific, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Let's tell Tim Cook.
Decide who we trust. privacy.
And in iOS 11, there's this new thing that'll go by and let you know about buttons or even try to label them and stuff. And that has some dangers too, because what if an app developer decides to coast and, Apple will take care of that for me. It's just a real prickly pear. And I see it happening a lot. Now, here's something I was going to bring up later, but it's apropos here. Two major corporations that I spoke to at ACB said that, and Jay, you were there for one of them, Android was not a priority because the WebAIM survey showed that there weren't enough users on Android to make it worth their while. So they put it lower on the development pile for Android and TalkBack.
Oh, well, that's circular. If you want more users on your platform, make better things for your platform.
Exactly. Right.
So that's this assumption that can happen in the development world. And all three of us do testing pretty extensively and make reports and do these kinds of things. And so when you hear these things,
lower
unfortunately,
priority.
They're not common. Yeah, I mean, they're super common.
You know, I can understand lower priority for Android accessibility or even Android apps for blind people. Heck, we've done it with our own app currently, just because we're still working on the Android one.
If you based it off your own information and your own surveys and your own user testing,
right?
Yes,
I mean, but lower priority is different than no priority, and there is definitely enough Android users that you should be making sure that things are working for Android. You can't just let your Android app sit there because all your quote unquote blind users are on the iPhone. That's just not.
Don't create an inactive list.
Exactly. By the way, you can read this wonderful article and all the comments. We do appreciate all you that have commented on this. Go over to blindbargains.com, and Chancey's take is up there along with a lot of the articles that we talk about. And
be sure to write one of the posts. The comment posts is from a developer that talks about why this is also a terrible idea from a developer's perspective. It's thorough, and I'm not going to read it on the air, but it's definitely worth a read, as they all are.
Well, and unfortunately, it undermines what Peter's been doing and the successes that Amazon's been having in other ways. During convention, they announced that they had the Amazon Fire coming to televisions, like Westinghouse television, so it's built in.
They gave one away at Banquet. I didn't win it.
Hey, what can I tell you? They're pretty inexpensive. If you read the reviews, not on Amazon, but if you read the reviews, you might see why some people found them very inexpensive. The Amazon Look, which came out, has voice view on it. So, I mean, there's things that are there, and there's some inconsistencies, as some people ran into, like Allison Hartley, who started watching the audio description that came to Amazon Prime, which was on a kind of our bucket list this year. So now we're looking at you, Hulu. That's next on the list. Allison started Man in the High Castle, which is an Amazon exclusive, but only season one was audio described.
Huh.
Not season two. So she made it all the way through the first season and wanted to dive into the second one, and it wasn't there. It's really weird. And when you are writing to Amazon or to any company, remember to be fair, just, and polite. Don't raise the white cane in anger. You know, come at them and praise them for the things that they are doing, because there certainly is factions within a very large company that are trying to do things rightly for us. So remember that when you're hitting your Mayday button on your X Fire or something like that, and kind of work through there.
And remember this too. We are at a place where most of us don't read all the terms of service for all the devices we have. We may have only the barest idea of what is possible. And we need to start actively engaging with things like this and better understand what information we're giving about the way that we use our devices and how that information is being used. And we've got to be aware that it can be used pretty imaginatively. This isn't something that I'm aware of happening, but you could have a jobs website or a jobs app. And if you detected a screen reader, you could go ahead and hide some posts.
Yeah.
You could take an Amazon Look and tell a screen reader user that she's always looking just fine. You know, you could do anything you want.
Yeah. It's so goofy stuff, but yeah.
Be careful out there and question the ways that your data is being used. And when you find an ethical infraction in the way that data is being used, follow it up and follow it up out loud.
Now, Chancey mentioned the article that she wrote that is over on blindbargains.com in the comments. You know, you could actually read that with the HIMS Polaris, especially now that it's updated. So it looks like there's some improvements here, sir.
Sounds more camera? Like the, this is not a thing that's exclusive to HIMS, as far as let's get this out the door and then let's put the things that probably should have been in the first version, which happens a lot. So now the camera works. You know, the camera that you already paid for, but it worked. But now it's there. You can use Canopy Reader and Darwin and other things like that. And there's also better support for QWERTY keyboards and then a laundry list of other bug fixes and improvements. Of course, we have that up on the website. So always good to see. They say they're going to have several over the next few months. So if you do have one of these things, definitely send them your feedback. And, you know, they'll try to work things in as far as the updates. I also got one to Chicken Nugget, the Twitter client from Accessible Apps. The big thing that I'm happy for is he's supporting the new style mentions now. So now I can mention about 18 people and it won't cut into my 140. Apologies to all my friends in advance. But now we can. Now it doesn't. Well, at least I don't have to complain if your screen name is really long. You're no longer taking up to 15 characters, so that's good. And support for Pocket, which is a web. What is actually? I, can you help me out here? Pocket. I feel like I've heard of it a million times.
It's a read later type of situation.
Okay, right.
Exactly. You find something that you want to read.
Like what Evernote used to be before it turned paid.
Okay, so that actually works because as many URLs as you get on tweets, and that's kind of a cool thing that you can kind of integrate those two. And that fixes a lot of other little things as well. And still a free update. He has not charged for an update since the beginning of this, so that's always cool. Version 4.4.
That is amazing. You know, there is a lot more still to come, but before we dive into that, we mentioned HumanWare just a little bit ago, and there is a lot of stuff going on over at HumanWare.
That's right. This episode is brought to you by HumanWare. Last year, HumanWare partnered with Google to launch the BrailleNote Touch, the world's first certified Braille tablet. The BrailleNote Touch combines the simplicity and efficiency of the well-known KeySoft user interface with the power and openness of a mainstream tablet. Now, here's how that works. You can use the familiar KeySoft apps to accomplish your daily tasks, such as document creation, email, or internet browsing, while downloading any accessible app from the Google Play Store. And once downloaded, KeySoft ensures that those apps are efficient to use with Braille. If you don't want to type on the Touch's included physical keyboard, you can type completely silently on its touchscreen using the innovative Touch Braille typing system. Now it is the end of the summer. With school starting back up, you can use KeyMath in your math classes. This all-in-one system which allows Braille math to be converted into perfect-looking print math in real time. And by the way, if you have not updated your BrailleNote Touch to version 4, it is live now and waiting for you. Just go to the Key Updater app to get that free update. The BrailleNote Touch. The future is so close you can touch it. Now you can learn more about the BrailleNote Touch or any of HumanWare's products by going to www.humanware.com. You can call 800-722-3393. You can also watch any of the several BrailleNote snapshot videos done by HumanWare on their YouTube channel. And that address is www.humanware.com/touchvideos.
Well, that's going to cover it for the news. We have lots more to catch up on. We have links just piled up. I gave, before we walked into this wonderful podcast room, I gave Jade this long document with all these links. And he's like, we can come back to all of that. And so we will do so. None of that really big stuff. The big stuff we've already sort of covered. So after this musical interlude in which we will all enjoy a tasty beverage, we'll come back and talk about NFB, ACB, and still to come, we have a little bit of a last word. That's right. I've been sitting on one all summer long, and I will let you all hear it in its not entirety, because you'll have to go to the website for that. But you'll get a taste of what it is, all that and more right after this little breaky thing that Patrick does so well.
And there you go. That was beautiful. Beautiful musical interlude. There you go. Episode 109. We are back. And the conventions finally seemed like they were a little while ago. Well, they were kind of spread out. It was actually kind of cool. I did both this year, and I was able to go to ACB, come home and sleep, and then go to Orlando. That was cool. And then, Joe, you went to ACB, and Chancey, you went to NFB, of course, which is... And we, you know, us, the three of us and Mika, well, mostly the three of you guys did. I did one interview and the rest of you guys did the rest of them.
I often tell people that these are work, and this is the first convention that I semi-attended for a change, which was nice. That was something I haven't really gotten to do because, you know, this has been professional thing for me for more than 11 years. And I've attended conventions.
And Joe's geeky little idea that he's been wanting to do forever, this little game show thing, that was a lot of fun. We did over in Sparks. So if you missed that, back up to 108 and you can hear the Blind Bargains game show live.
More where than we do 40 give away people prizes. Were in that room, and people were actually outside the room trying to listen in. And thanks to Speed Dots and Jenny Owens and all our friends who came out and represented Earl Harrison, Hymns, HumanWare. There was a lot of cool people in the room, and it was really, really nice. And it was something, you're right, it's something I didn't get to do last year when you did Blind Bargains Live. So it was nice to be able to do that. And also, big shout out to Derek once again for recording that.
Really cool stuff. One of the big things at the conventions, dominating both of them, they were definitely had a huge presence. If you want to talk about newer companies making a splash and making themselves known, you could not go about 3 or 4 feet without seeing somebody from Ira at both the conventions. They had receptions at both of them. They had, I believe they were on both agendas. Lots of talk about this.
At both. During the speeches.
Lots of talk about them. And, I'll throw to you in a second, Chancey, because Chancey's been talking about Ira more before anybody, because she's been one of the early Ira explorers. And I've,
she was on a boat.
To the, Oh, yes. I do want to hear about, yes, the boat. I want to hear about the boat. But, you know, they've come a long way, and this was pretty much their prime time launch this summer, where they were actively signing up anybody who wanted to pay, well, $89 a month for 100 minutes, although you get double minutes for the first 3 months. I'll defer to you. A few things happened at convention, and we'll talk about them. They're definitely involving the organizations. Both Mark Riccobono and Eric Bridges are on their board, so some major organizational representation from both the organizations.
We got blind some on there too. There was Thunder Dog guy is there.
Hinkson.
His name is Michael.
Thunder Dog guy. It's Michael Hinkson. Yes.
Yeah, that guy. Then I think Christine Ha got added, or she's about to, or wanted to be. So there was definitely the star power happening. Wow.
So, yeah, the boat. Tell me about the, I mean, because let's just go right there. I'm really curious about the boat.
Let's go directly to the boat. So my friend and I were walking around Lake Eola, and we came upon these little swan boats that you pedal like bicycles. And I said, we absolutely have to do this. One thing I've never done independently as a blind person is take a boat of any kind out. And as risks go, or places to experiment, this is good, because it was a small, fairly small lake, and there was a fountain in the center of the lake. So there was some good natural audio guidance. And there was also some like rock and roll music where the boats got docked. And I said, let's do this. And of course, then it started thundering, and we had to stand there and wait and wait and wait. My friend said, we're not coming back here tomorrow, are we? And I said, no. This little boat is my Moby Dick. We're going to get out there and paddle on this boat if it's the very last thing I do. So we came back the next day, and we were kind of wondering whether the people at the dock would look at the cane and the dog and kind of say, nope. But they just said, y'all know you're going out by yourselves, right? And we said, right. We have an interpreter. And they didn't ask any questions about that. They were just like, okay, here's your boat. And they showed us where all the controls were very nicely. And we connected to Ira, and we paddled away. And the agent, whose name was Peter, handled it really nicely. I couldn't have asked for a better sighted partner. Sometimes there's a little bit of a mismatch with Ira, but between like what you hope and what you get, usually not much. But this was just one of those times when things flowed beautifully. He was able to do three things for us. He was able to give us advice in which way we should steer, and he communicated that to us in degrees, and he seemed pretty accurate. So that was great. He helped make sure that we were steering away from the shoreline. There were some parts of the shoreline that kind of dipped in a little bit that we needed to avoid. And then he provided ongoing description and let us know when we could see other swan boats and what this multicolored fountain looked like and what was reflected in the water. That was all great. And then he took lots of beautiful photos that we posted on Facebook.
Oh, cool.
And most important thing, he got us back exactly to the right place to dock our boat so that we didn't have to.
Did you get any comments from the workers when you came back?
No, they were totally like Florida unfazed. They did not care. They wanted to make sure that we knew that we weren't going out with any of them. But once they knew we knew, they were kind of done worrying.
And sometimes
about us.
That's and that cool, you know.
Beautiful. Like,
you don't want it was great. You don't want to be recognized. It's, oh my gosh, that's so cool! You did that. You just want to be like everybody else and go out and enjoy a boat ride.
I've noticed this other thing that's not. It's more of an Ira side effect. When I am wearing the glasses, and it doesn't matter if I'm actually connected to Ira, but the visual of the glasses seems to make sighted people think that I might be sighted, even where all other evidence points to the contrary. So we're walking back one day to our hotel, and we decide to walk along with a lady that we asked directions for because she was going the same way. And like it was like a 2-block walk, and we're chatting, and my friend has a cane, and I have a guide dog, and I'm wearing the glasses, and we're just talking. And then at the end of the walk, we get to our hotel, and she says, oh, yeah, and if you have a car, you can go around back to that parking lot. Okay.
You say that, but the legal driving vision rate in Texas is incredibly scary. You don't want to know. It's I've worked with consumers in the past who really should have been driving. There is assumption there, right? The stereotypical blue blocker glasses that most blind people would wear in the 50s, 60s, 70s kind of went along with the cane in the stereotype and kind of magnified that I am blind, but The glasses are a variance of Google Glass.
Well, they've changed them, right? Isn't there a couple different versions
now?
Yeah,
the new ones are really nice. Different look altogether on the new one.
So I'm still trying to figure out what I have versus what Chansey has. So I've signed up now at NFB as well. Is there a simple way, do you know, Chansey, to figure out which glasses I have?
Yeah, just email me and I'll show it to my agent.
Yeah, that'll work.
She jests, but that's probably a very true statement. Mine have the, so they fold out on the right side. I think that's where they unfold or whatever. They're very light.
Me too.
They kind of look like sunglasses. I think the way I understand it, the hardware is the same, but what they've perhaps changed is the shades
the weight,
or yeah.
Yeah, the weight of the frames, because there were some people I was watching on Twitter during NFB convention saying that they were pinching their head, and they said, oh, we can send you out a different pair. This will probably work better for you. Customer service was really on top of it during convention, and that is something you have to admit was big, was the awareness of the company to who it's working with and the audience that it's shooting for is quite high.
And they're not patronizing. Like, you know, yeah, there will be some people that will use Ira for the most mundane things that those of us who are independent blind people will be like, why would you ever call someone for that? Which is fine. That's their choice and they can do that. But the times that I've called them and I asked, you know, they provide the assistance that I've asked for. I've had, now, Chansey's on an unlimited plan and I'm not at the moment because they don't have the you know, she was on like an early adopter type plan. And one of the things I've definitely found, like, is for some reason they can't see the image right away or I'm having some trouble. I'm like, okay, oh my God, let's get this going. I'm paying 89 cents a minute. And I really want to rush things along sometimes, which I guess is a little unavoidable for a by the minute service.
Sure.
You know, I'm looking for some efficiencies. Like, I would like to be able to email ahead stuff instead of wasting the first minute of the call saying, hey, what's your email address so I can send this over? And I'm getting a little bit of confusion from support on if that's possible or not. So I mean, there's things like that. The primary initial use of Ira was for you wearing the glasses and having them show you around, right? And now people are finding, including myself, are finding other fringe cases. Like, I had them help me fill out a W-9, which is a tax form. And it kind of involved them filling out a fillable PDF and then sending it to me. And then I brought them up and had them sign it. So I think as people come up with more of these kind of use cases that maybe they weren't really used for, they will adapt and figure out how we can make this possible.
Well, let's touch on something that Chansey hit earlier about privacy in terms of service. Do you feel comfortable in that situation by having that? Because chances are that that's recorded.
And, oh, yeah.
And may be used in a training situation, because the agents will only get better if they learn. And I say that as someone who worked in a call center for a major corporation. There are things that you have to be comfortable with. And this is the same conversation we had about Be My Eyes and others. The difference here being is that, you know, the volunteers are just volunteers. Yep. These are people who are paid and trained to work with you. And
yeah,
sad to say, there's a certain segment of our community that is very litigious. And so the company has to protect itself. So some of this information is going to be kept and stored. Are you okay with that?
Just to tack on a story with that exact same situation, I sent over a W-9 as a PDF, but it was not a fillable PDF. And the agent was not, he's like, you know what? I can't do this because I would have to print it out and then I would have a paper trail of a W-9 and I'm not comfortable, you know. Correct. That's not something we should be doing. So I ended up pulling it into FindReader, the scanning program, creating a scannable version and then sending that over. So I was actually like, you know what? I'm happy that you did it that way, because that makes a lot more sense. I don't want you to have to print it out and put us in a situation that's uncomfortable.
Right.
I think Ira is doing the best work that they can as a company to create an organizational culture that protects the privacy of individuals. And I think they have a lot of great practices in place. That said, there are two places where your privacy can be impacted. One of them is by the human being on the other end of the connection, and confidentiality slips can happen and do happen at any company. And the other places in the recordings and the terms of service do say that your video and your audio is captured and can be recorded. And they do save your photos. They don't just save the photos that you've asked to be emailed to you or added to your photo inbox. All your photos are pretty much saved. unless you explicitly ask for them to be deleted, which you can do. So if you're working with sensitive data, for example, I was working with a patron yesterday on a form that she brought in from her job that was not mine to keep or Iris to keep. So I asked the agent to have it deleted at the end of the session. So that
and
you can do,
that.
But you have to remember to do it. Well, yes, they reported that
they at least reported that. I mean, it's like you said, the confidentiality slips too. Like, it's very simple. If you, a lot of agents, or at least some of the agents now that they're hiring, are work from home people.
Yep.
So somebody could be, I will purposely, if I am in my office and I know if there's anybody else around, if a customer wants me to repeat back a credit card number, I will not do it because I don't know who's around. Yeah. I would like, you know what? Can you please read it to me again? And I will verify it's the correct number. Because I've been in places where I hear someone verifying a credit card number and they're reading it back. I'm like, I could just write this down right now. And you know, so you got to be careful for now along the same lines. And this becomes very interesting. Some things that you might've used IRA for could now perhaps be covered by a Microsoft thing that a lot of us have been playing with called Seeing AI, which is a really interesting program.
What a great story to have where if you couldn't go to convention, here this thing rolls through and everybody was talking about it inside and outside the fishbowl. That was just amazing to see it all happening in real time. People playing around with it, the ability to use the simple scan feature to have just, you know, small text read, document feature. Which was really interesting because here was KNFB saying they were extending out the $20 version of Windows KNFB Reader for a little bit.
I'm scared. If I'm KNFB, I'm a little scared at the moment.
It was definitely kind of a moment in time
privacy
face detection and stuff. Go ahead, Chance.
KNFB doesn't send your stuff to the cloud. And in short text mode, neither does Seeing AI, but if you need to process an entire document, it's sending to the cloud. So it's, if confidentiality is important to you, be aware.
Short text is not sent to the cloud? How do we know?
No, it's done on the device.
I tried it with airplane mode.
That's why it eats up the battery like crazy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that's actually local. That's how it's doing it so fast. The short text. The other ones, like the product search and the...
Or the picture ability to scan pictures that you already have.
Which, of course, everyone's been playing with the... everybody's been playing with the how old do I look thing.
So I saw some people testing out the document feature and the product feature. I saw a lot of people taking like backwards selfies and getting upset. Because it estimates your gender, your expression, and your age. So, you know, I took my picture and I'm 35, okay? And it says 22-year-old man looking neutral. And I take another one and it's like 25-year-old man looking upset.
Jim, wonder why you're upset.
The thing I would ask people online was, okay, you're using the front-facing camera. Do you have your lights on, right? When you use some of the other features, it uses the rear camera and it flips on the light automatically. It'll turn on your flashlight on your phone. But when you're using the front-facing camera, a lot of us don't turn on our lights or don't use lights very effectively or not in a lighted area. So it was going to have weird anomalies with that. But if you were in a good lighting situation, it was okay. It wasn't super accurate. Now, what really does work is the barcode scanner. Takes a little getting used to and a little bit more practice. I still will use my ID Make Galaxy if I had to do a bunch of groceries all at once. If I'm going to do bulk tasks, then I'm still going to use my Galaxy. I got asked that on Twitter. But if it's upstairs and I'm downstairs and my phone is nearby, I don't have a problem in using Seeing AI. It kind of gives you a little bit of a beep noise to let you know when you're getting close. You have to hold your phone a little far away, which is, you have to do this weird kind of balancing act, a Lady of Justice
with moment. The barcode. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's,
maybe we can make that our tip. We'll flip a coin and who gets to do it.
Exactly. Well, no, the really good one is adding it to your sharing sheet on your iPhone. So you can actually send things to it. So you can actually go in and tell it to share, because that's how you get a lot of photos from Facebook or Twitter. You do that to, like, you know, you go into Facebook and you see a picture and you want to, you know, take it and move it to your camera roll. And then from your camera roll, you can actually share it to Seeing AI and it'll analyze the pictures on your picture roll. That's super awesome. And I was like taking screenshots that I had from like 7 years ago of Sonic the Hedgehog, and it would say things like stuffed animal, which was hysterical. It was just great. Free app. They were adding to it constantly. They've already done like 3 or 4 updates to it. It's not available, unfortunately, in the UK, which a lot of people
iPhone only at the moment.
Yeah, they are talking about an Android version, which is really weird because Microsoft has a substantial footprint on Android in a lot of ways. But again, we're back to...
They know where the market is.
We're aiming this at blind people. Where are the blind people at? Oh, yeah, iOS.
Exactly. But, you know, but so it will come in for the... Yeah, it's definitely the most talked about thing. And I mean, yes, you mentioned, yes, KNFB does not send to the cloud, but I know that will certainly seem... There will be some people that are, hey, this works just fine. Why would I... purchase? Why would I spend $99 or even $20 on KNFB?
And I have this in that huge list of links that I gave you, Jay. They're coming to Aira? Is that what I understand? Is that they're going to incorporate
So Aira is doing, yeah, and to circle us back, they're adding a few additional things. Well, they announced a few different things in Orlando, one of which is this kind of virtual assistant, Chloe, right? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Chloe. We're
a little unclear of what Chloe's going to do. But they claim it's kind of going to augment the human element. So there'll be some situations, obviously seeing AI would be a great integration there if they could pull that off. But they're going to have KNFB reader in there and probably some other things, perhaps some GPS related stuff. We don't entirely know. So
they're going to start out with reading via KNFB. That's their stated initial goal.
Right.
And it's going to happen through the glasses.
Yeah, the interesting thing, we'll talk about Aira more in other episodes, I'm sure, because I'm going to write up some stuff on it as far as the whole onboarding and stuff.
I like what Christopher Toth told us too. The way that he's approaching it when we were in Reno was Mongoose Q said that he looked at it as if you were hiring a legal advisor, right? So you paid them by the minute, you paid them by the hour, and that actually framed the service in a much better light for me. And it locked a lot of things into place because I'm in that situation where being low vision, I'm in denial about most things, as Jay reminds me. And as he found out walking through the casino. I don't necessarily need the service, but I can understand why people could and should, if they are available to do so, use the service for the same reason that people were walking down their hallway and reading doors and reading things in the hallway of their offices. And I was having conversations with people about there's so much that is available in text, in visual forms that you're just not aware of or, you know, don't care about in some cases. In advertising, working with our teenager, he's constantly bombarded by visual things. And so it was really neat to see people coming to that understanding of how some of this works in marketing, how information is displayed. And it gave a lot of people a new understanding of how much print is around them at all times that they just didn't even know was there.
I'm a little bit worried about a piece of that, which is this whole concept of bringing your accessibility with you as your own personal bridge. So, okay, the signs don't have Braille, you use Aira. The document wasn't prepared in an electronic format, you use Aira. The diagram wasn't properly explained in a textual way, you use Aira. And you can get pretty comfortable with your own personal bridge to access. But as long as we're in a socioeconomic reality where not everyone can afford or gain some kind of organizational support to have Aira, as a social justice issue, we need to be really careful about becoming complacent with our wonderful personal bridges and situations where bridges aren't being built for everyone. So no matter how good Aira and our other kind of portable tools get, let's not forget that baseline accessibility at the infrastructure level, whether we're talking about a document or a website or a building, is still fundamentally important. And we shouldn't get lazy about defending it just because we have a problem solver in our pocket.
Well, we should, the old vocational rehabilitational teacher reminds me in my head all the time from my VI teacher in high school on, no tech, low tech, high tech. We should always look at how we can do something because people got along just fine without these tools. I had this conversation with my teenager. You know, one of the stories that came out while we were gone was some people in the ages of 12 to 25 were amazed that there was free television in the air. All you needed was this magical thing called an antenna. And I had to have this conversation about, you know, the world existed before 2000. We actually didn't ride on dinosaurs. We actually used slate and styluses. We used abacuses, and it was not horrible. And that kind of hits on my thing. you know, working in vocational rehabilitation, I see people form those bridges, Chansey, and then dependencies. And I'm just saying, for sake of discussion here, there's no guarantee that this is going to make. Okay, I understand there's $12 million in funding. I understand that there is a lot of, effort behind it. But let's just play devil's advocate for the moment for the discussion. If people do become dependent on that, and then that's removed, and we've seen this with, vocational rehabilitation, if that becomes a situation, then that's a lot of people who are in a vacuum that's really kind of uncomfortable. So I agree with the sparingly or use it where you really think you need it situation rather than mm-hmm. I'm going to hit the feeder bar and just eat another pellet.
It's not
exactly.
It's not often that you'll hear me recommend a banquet speech, but honestly, this year's is one of the this year is one of the better ones that I've heard in a long time. Mark Riccobono's talking about the influence of technology on our lives and how it's affected us. And it's actually a really good read or listen. It's up there now. So we'll link to that as well. We could talk forever. I want to give you two a really quick opportunity just to see, was there anything else? You guys both did a lot of interviews. I guess we'll start with you, Chansey. Was there any company or anybody that jumped out at you as far as really good or really disturbing either way as far as the ones that you talked to at NFB?
So there's massive interest around Orbit Reader. I think they were giving away little tickets. Yeah, sorry, Joe. So they were giving away tickets to sell 30 units, and the tickets were given away in like 3 to 5 minutes. People are super interested in the ability to pay full price for a Braille display, and that, as somebody that works in the library, just warms my heart no end. I think it's great. And then people were also kind of excited about the Brailliant 14 coming out. So it's another big Braille year. I saw the Canute, which is still in development. Talk to Ed Rogers. You can catch that on our podcast.
But
yeah,
look at the tablet, which is awesome too. Our discussion about that, which I thought was awesome. That was even a date. You managed to get dates out of people, which I thought was fantastic.
Well, calendars can be rearranged, but it's nice to have. It's nice to have an idea. Everybody's got edit button.
But here's the thing, and this gets into some of the resolutions. By the way, happy there was no Apple resolution to argue about this year. That made me super, super, super happy. There were people on Twitter asking APH and asking NLS and asking others, and I saw it on Facebook too, so I'm not just going to single out Twitter. So when is this going to come to NLS? Because one of the things that was voted upon was to pressure or promote or gain favor for $10 million in order to pass out $10,000 Braille displays. And naturally that kind of sort of, once again, made me kind of raise my antennae up, because here we've been asking for something that we can afford, something that we can purchase, something that's in the range of a Victor Reader screen. Hold on.
I think your numbers are off there a little bit.
Okay.
The way I understood it, it was 5 million for 10. It's 5 million for 10,000
for 10,000, and I appreciate the correction.
Yeah, because it was just 500 a piece. So I mean, that's
however, to roll around to where I was going, and I appreciate that because I suck at math. I've been open about that. I'm 7 years of podcasting, so that's not a shock to anyone. There was a segment of our community who was like, "So when do I get it for free?" And that really, really bothered me on so many levels, because we've asked for this, and now that it's happening, and as a tangential moment here, Michael Deuce, who we'll talk about next week in the bigger news section, was making some of his apps free, but he was being asked recently, what's the difference between his $3 app and the free version? Because the person was only going to get the free version. This aversion to paying for things in our community is unfortunately saddens and shocks me to no end, because this is the kind of stuff that locks us into what Chansey was talking about just a moment ago, is that if you're always looking for this, then you're going to get options that you're not going to really want. And if it's government funded, speaking as someone who used to work for the government, that's not always what you want either.
Somebody accused us AT guys. I mean, they're kind of in passing, like, yeah, man, the AT guys, they mark up their products. Yeah. Hello, isn't that what a business does? You buy things at a discount in quantity, and then you mark them up. That is how this works.
That's the form of retail.
I'm going to buy everything at the cost. I'm going to sell it to you at the cost that I paid and make no money. By the way,
there's a class action lawsuit against Amazon doing the same thing for Prime Day. That's how the marketplace works, and it is fascinating. And again, it's a part of our community that has in a lot of ways, and I'm not kicking anybody, valid concerns, and there are incomes that are very fixed and limited. I gather that. I get that. I'm not saying anything different to that. I myself have been there and have been on a fixed income in that situation. But the way to work yourself out of that, the way to work yourself towards a bigger and better situation is to invest yourself, to be a part of your own plan. Oh God, I'm starting to quote my VR days. Anyway, regardless of that, this is affordable. If you can afford a Victor Read or Stream, you're almost to the Braille display. And that, again, these companies like Humanware, like APH, and like others, they have to make money too. And that just blows my mind. Blows my mind.
Yeah, there's no entitlement. I mean, yeah, sure, you need to make a decision. Yeah, if you can't afford it, then... Yes. I mean, okay, I don't want to say find a job or else. I mean, but, you know.
No.
Everyone's financial situation is different, but, you know, it is a very reasonable price. If you want it now, then spend the $450, which is very reasonable. If you want to wait a couple years, or at least you could do is advocate for and help advocate for the NLS thing.
If that works, right? If that resolution holds, if NLS can talk to Congress, and right now with Congress slashing everywhere, there's no guarantee there, trust me. You know, it's just a weird gamble. Why would you give up something as important as Braille?
I want to balance this out a little bit with the perspective that I have at the library, where we work with a lot of folks that are coming to us for training because they don't fit into the VR umbrella and they don't fit into any other, they're maybe not on the vocational track or there's other stuff going on, maybe undocumented, and they're on exceedingly limited incomes. And yet they want to be using Braille. They're tech aware. They're doing their research. And that's not everyone who's crying out for free stuff, but that is a segment of that voice. And if you are somebody like that, somebody that is aspiring to put functional Braille in your life, it's aspiring to read and write with Braille, and the reason why you can't do it even at $450 is your income. Like, a ton of people in the US are super strapped. What I would encourage you to do, rather than advocating primarily through blindness channels, think about how sighted people in your same situation are getting access to the hardware that they need, and check out those channels. Sometimes there are super low interest loan programs. Sometimes there are even grant programs and consumer community organizations.
Lions clubs.
And there are a lot of libraries that are starting to loan hardware. And it's possible, it's possible that you're
doing GoFundMes. There are people who are asking for gift certificates to APH, no less. For birthday or what have you. And I'm in no way trying to make light of that situation. Again, I'm with you, Chancey, and I'm glad that you said that. What I think is really scary is that President Riccobono's speech was really great, but then we were also advocating handouts. And there was this weird conversation that was sort of happening in and outside of Orlando in real time.
Well, not everybody could see it. It's a hard thing to get your head around, because, or at least my head around, because if you think of equity of access, if you're sighted and you can't afford a tablet, first of all, you have access to your primary reading medium if you can afford a $40 tablet. But if you can't even do that, you can go to any library and check out a book in your primary reading medium, and it's generally available. And when you go to the doctor's office, or the bank, or anywhere else, your primary reading medium is available to you. If you are a blind person with a limited income, there is no off-the-shelf, super cheap hardware, like at the Amazon Fire level or the budget Android tablet level, that will do anything for you in your primary reading medium. So I think part of me does hope and believe that there will be some opportunity for really broad organizational support, whether it's through the NLS system or somewhere else, to get people to a place where they have fundamental access to reading and writing tools.
Not to mention the importance of Braille surviving as a medium. Yeah. One of the reasons it's dying is because Braille costs more to produce both physical and through a refreshable Braille than it does to for someone to get a $40 Kindle Fire. And
well, and since I have two smart people with me, the term blindness tax was thrown around a lot in the last month. There was something interesting. Greg said, you know, 100,000 Victor Reader streams. Perkins had a great tweet out recently that said over 340,000 Perkins Braillers had been distributed. In the grand scheme of things, when you get to mass production, those aren't huge numbers. Apple has worked with Cochlear to release a hearing aid. There's going to be a lot of those. You know, we are, whether we like it or not, a niche within a niche within a grand scheme of what is assistive technology. And as you were talking about earlier with VFO, Chansey, I fear, and I say this again from a deep, scary place within me, I fear social rehabilitation. I fear checklists. I fear loss of consumer choice. I fear branding of here's your 6 foot cane that's straight, you get no other. Here is the Braille display. You're going to like it because you have no other choice. And it's the first one you use, so you'll never use anything else because you've gotten used to this one. So when you see router keys, you might have some trouble with that because, well, you never had them before. I came from a state that allowed consumer choice, and I was very lucky, and I realize that, and I accept that. And that's why I champion this so loudly, and why I'm saying this so broadly, is that there is a danger. We're losing screen readers. There is a possibility that we're going to have a conversation on this very podcast. Is JAWS too big to fail like a bank? Because people are relying on it for their jobs. There are some scary things that we're going to have to talk about as a community. And I really, really hope that wise voices, and I do like Rick Bono's speech. I thought it was good, but I think it has to be back in the local chapters. I think it has to be a lot more of us saying that, because it's great for us to come to Reno and come to Orlando and say that and do that. But then again, like the NVDA situation, everybody thought that was a rock solid situation. Things change. Microsoft came in and upended the assistive technology with one app and put OrCam and InVision and three other companies on notice. This is a different kind of world that we're about to navigate. And so I think that speech was very apt for what's going on. But at the same time, I think independence is important, whether it be the privacy thing you were talking about earlier, whether that be you talking to your Alexa or your Google Home, where you share your data, you know, that's convenient too, and it's helpful too. But let's not kid ourselves. That too is being used for various needs. Hey, we just found out that Roombas map your house this month while we were gone.
Yeah.
So again, I think it's all really interesting and there's tools that can definitely help us. But like with all of this, there's convenience and then there's the ability for that information to be used in ways you might not have intended. And better yet, there might be a situation where you don't have a choice. If we allow choices to go away, then we don't have choices or we have the illusion of choice. So I support BOM on one end of the spectrum and giving you the Apple product of Braille displays. You spend a lot of money, but a lot of people like what they get from BOM. And I support Orbit Reader and those that are doing things like that because there has to be choice. As long as people get to know that there is a choice, that they can put their hands on a Vario and then an Orbit and understand why they are. And why a $900 hammer is a $900 hammer. If the government's going to buy it, it's always going to be $900.
Exactly. And I think we have a tendency as people in a culture of rapidly changing technology, not as blind people, but just as people, to get excited about this surplus of new things and new capabilities, the ways that we can connect to each other and discover content and do things. And we read those headlines and get excited. And we're so excited that we don't think about what it will be like when and if we have to disassemble any of the workflows or life choices that we've based around these new things. Tom Waits says, the large print giveth and the small print taketh away. And I think that's it. Get excited about the headlines, but think about that other stuff as well.
We're running long, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to I'm going to come in and I'll do this little tip on the barcode thing on Seeing AI. And after that, we've already did some comments, so we're going to go straight into this, whatever this thing.
Last word
that
is?
You, yeah, whatever this is, right? Yeah. So
not a problem.
Here's a tip. Hey, we talked earlier about Seeing AI, the new, artificial intelligence assistant from Microsoft, the AI. It's a free app that you get on your iPhone right now. And we talked a little bit about how you might use it to identify products. Well, let me show you exactly how that works. I have the Seeing AI app loaded up. And there's a couple things that you can do to try to figure out what can of mystery you are holding. The first one.
Menu. Quick help. Pause announced. Channel. Short text.
Is the adjustable. Short text channel. So I have that selected.
With one. Pause announcements.
And you will need to make sure you unfocus that so it'll actually start reading things. And what short text will do is it will just start trying to read text. Now, let's see if we can actually get it to read anything, because it's sometimes a little finicky, and depending on where you're at, and especially with a round can, let's see if we can get it to read something.
Puck. Lib/look. Puck proud. NG puck proud. I'm too. And take Y. Eins. Of. Fno. An. / Make. And ta. Free range C. By garnishing it. Find. Ifgang puck. Our time too. More. Heat. Stirring occasion a star. Ovens vary. Time approc. Channel.
Very short interesting.
Text. Adjust channel, short text, adjustable.
Notice it's just kind of reading chunks of text. It's exactly what the short text thing does. And it actually works well for a lot of things, trying to read displays, reading computer screens, reading just lots of, your mail, things like that. Maybe not as good for cans. There actually is a mode that we can go to that makes the cans and identifying products a little easier for identifying barcodes. So I'm going to swipe up here.
Menu, quick pause announce channel, document, product.
To product. Now, watch what happens when I do the same thing on the same can for product.
Pause announcements. Button. Seeing AI. Processing. Wolfgang Puck Organic Free Range Chicken and Dumplings.
Wolfgang. I believe that's Wolfgang. And it took me a second to kind of figure this out. It's not as simple as using... something like BC Scan, the quantum scanner that we sell, or using an IDmate, because those things are especially designed for barcode. This is a camera. But notice the tone guidance that it gave you to kind of clue you in on where the barcode was, and it gets faster as you get a little bit closer. So with a little bit of practice, you can actually figure out where the barcodes are on a lot of things. So it gave us this Wolfgang or Wolfgang Puck
share
stuff.
More info.
Button. And I can hit this more info button and see what else we have.
More info. Wolfgang Puck Organic Free Range Chicken and Dumplings. Heading Level 2. Wolfgang Puck Organic Free Range Chicken and Dumplings. Inspected for wholesomeness by U.S. Department of Agriculture. Per 1 cup, 130 calories, 2.5 grams sat fat, 13% DV, 680 milligrams sodium, 28% DV, 1 gram sugars. USDA Organic. Net wet 14.5 ounces, 411 g. Directions preparation directions do not add water. Stove, heat. Stirring occasionally. Microwave. Microwave ovens vary. Time given is approximate. 1. Heat. Covered. In medium microwavable bowl on high 2 to 2, 1/2 minutes. 2. Careful. Leave in microwave.
And there you go. You get, the...
chicken and dumplings. Heading level 2.
You get the directions and the ingredients and those important dietary information. Watch out for that sat fat. And it's in there as well. And of course, you can use all your usual... rotor navigations, router, whatever you want to call it, to do by navigating by word or line or whatever. So it's one of the many things that you can do with this kind of really cool app called Seeing AI, and lots of other things that you can do as well. We'll probably explore some of these in future podcasts. What have you used Seeing AI for? Let us know in the tips. Send us your feedback to feedback@blindbargains.com.
You're listening to the Blind Bargains Cast. Blind Bargains Cast.
We had a lot of fun talking about the various conventions. We barely scratched the surface. Jay and I didn't even talk about how weird numbers were this year, because registration at ACB was kind of not exactly on target. And I saw a lot of people walking around without badges. So there was a large number of people there because the casino staff certainly knew it. Correct. and NFB numbers were really high this year, which was also good to see. Also, real quick, before we launch into the last word, it looks like 2018 is the last year for Orlando. So yeah, if you were planning
going
on
west.
Going to Harry Potter or
place,
unfortunately, the new Star Wars land launches in 2019.
Oh, don't so worry. I bet we still may be there like every other year or something, but yeah,
do it like we did Dallas for a couple of years.
I could see that. Yeah, but we're definitely ACB is in St. Louis and then is it
totally
Rochester
going back to the
after that?
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. It's St. Louis, then Rochester, New York.
And then NFB is Orlando. I'm hearing Rosen Center.
Okay.
And then somewhere west of the Mississippi. Heard perhaps Ooh. Denver, perhaps Vegas, perhaps Reno. So we'll see. We'll see the ACB.
I had to go Reno to LA to get back to Charlotte. That was just a really no. I'm not used to this East Coast to West Coast flying thing. This is totally new for this
West
kid.
West to East is terrible.
Three words that I fear now: LAX, LAX remote terminal. God, those are just the worst.
So, not as bad as Washington D.C.'s Gate 35X, which is an entire set of bus or planes parked out in a bus parking lot.
Yeah, I would rather go into BWI or Reagan before I have to go to Dulles. I'm just saying.
No, this is at Reagan. This is at Reagan.
Oh, no. Red Reagan? Oh, no.
Yeah, no.
And then you had to get out of Crystal City.
Yeah.
So back in June, I grabbed these files every so often and I put them in and occasionally I share them with Ricky and go, what do you think? Is this a good last word? And this one we listen to and keep coming back to because it's actually a tune. Well, first let's listen to a little bit of here.
Yummy, 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 yummy fruit salad.
I did my time and I went out, so effusive fade. It doesn't cut, the soul is not so vibrant. The reckoning, the sickening, back at chase of virgin, pseudo-sacrosanct perversion. Go drill your deserts, go dig your graves, then fill your mouth with all the money you will save. Sinking in, getting smaller again, I'm done, it has begun. I'm not the only one.
Sitting in dark and blind,
so this is a song from the Wuggles, which is not Teletubbies, but, you know, in that ilk of children's shows in the grand land of the U of K. And they have this really neat song about, as you hear, salad. And then comes in Slipknot and Stone Sour and a gentleman who did a guest appearance on Doctor Who. There's my Doctor Who reference again. His lyrics from a Slipknot song placed over the top of this particular track. And this is one that we've had all summer long stuck in our heads. It's been very interesting. So these things happen. Oh yeah, we finished Persona 5 during the summer too, which is great. We've moved on to Life is Strange. So these are things that can show up during the summer. This has been our soundtrack. This comes up at the weirdest parts. We'll make up lyrics.
And by our, I mean you and Ricky, because I am not a part of this.
No. I actually almost did play it at the booth for you. So this has been kicking around. And usually they come and go. Like, you know, the Persona music is stayed around for a while and things like that. But this one we keep coming back and I'll hear her like sing it as she's walking up around upstairs while I'm in the office or vice versa. You can learn a lot more about these things and occasionally actually hear these things before they happen on our show by following me on Twitter. That's twitter.com/rangerstation. All one word. Big shout out to Dean over at Top Dot and our friends over Cool Blind Tech hitting their million. And also Blind Abilities doing some amazing work out there. There was some really good unboxing. Rachel did an unboxing of her, Orbit Reader that she won at ACB. So there was some good content going out there while we were doing our content. And it's really good that there are lots of outlets happening out there. Also, a shout out again to Michael Deuce for starting his podcast with some wonderful stuff about the very same thing. So if you want to get another take on how things went, he was at a convention as well, and you can listen to that. And he launched an app, which I think is really cool. I mean, we're already used to that since he's done our Blind Bargains apps, but he's got an app going for iAccessibility, which I think is also super, super cool. And man, oh man, did this lady do amazing work at Orlando. Her interviews were longer than ours. They were certainly probably more subject relevant than ours. And they definitely were the things you wanted to listen to, by the way that I've been looking at the Podtrac numbers. Hey, Chansey, congratulations and good work there. Where can people follow you and find out more about you and You're on a Boat?
Yeah, thank you so much. So when I'm not on a boat, you can find me on Twitter at Chansey Fleet, ChanceyFleet. My views are my own, but if you want to find out about the work that I'm doing at the library, we are at talkingbooks.nypl.org. And you can check out last week's post about the Amazon fail right there at Blind Bargains. And if you want to learn more about my experiences with Ira and visual interpreters, those are in the July Braille Monitor.
Yeah, that is a really cool article. It compares four different services, and they all have kind of their uses, as we were finding out. It's kind of been fun. And at some point, I want to do like an Ira versus Be My Eyes on the same tasks and play with that, because it could be really interesting. And we definitely will talk more about that. I'm going to write some stuff about that as well. That'll be over at blindbargains.com. You can tweet us at blindbargains. You can email feedback@blindbargains.com as well. And thanks for all the comments on Chansey's post, on the post about Jamie. Feel free to go to the website and you can comment as well on stuff. We really appreciate your comments. And we knock on wood, I think we're headed back towards our regular, well, we're what putting is out a show format? Every week.
Well, yeah, I think what I do is I put
I'm not going to say regular format. No, I'm not going to say I'm not going to say regular format. I'm just going to say we're back to putting out a show about once a week, whatever it may
there
be.
There you go. It might actually be.
It could be. We have a couple regular shows planned. Fair, we have some special stuff planned.
We got some irregular ones coming down the
pike.
Yes,
we do.
Well.
Yes.
But to be fair, news has kind of sort of happened as we've walked in here. And so you can lay out some ideas and then all of a sudden the story comes in and it's like, well, we got to cover that. And that's going to take a little
bit of time. Is there more news? Wait, did I miss something?
No, thank goodness. Well, I haven't looked on Twitter, so let's not do that. It looks like you came back with less stuff than you started at convention. I guess it went okay at the AT Guys booth?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, crazy, hectic time. Several of the Microspeak, the talking digital recorders were big. The E5s were that we were Mika was doing a little dance party thing over at ACB, and then Pippi over at NFP was doing the same thing, running around with the speaker, and we were like doing karaoke and stuff. It was a lot of fun. I think it's really loud. You can do a lot of Alexa stuff on it.
We were doing Rodgers and Hammerstein at the end.
Oh gosh, yes, that was kind of fun.
That was the best.
I want to throw back a little bit, and we'll talk about it more later, the 06, which is a little kind of the little gadgety dial voiceover thing.
Little guy.
Yeah,
thing.
I mean,
yeah.
And it's brand new, and we knew that going in, but they're doing a lot to update it, so we'll talk about it more later, but they've actually kind of overhauled the interface quite a bit to make it more user-friendly, so we'll keep an eye on that, and we'll definitely talk more about that as well as other stuff, but we definitely appreciate all the support, and we're going to be going places this fall, and stay tuned for that. We're going to be in a few different states as far as conventions and other events, so we'll definitely let you know.
Yeah, got to have something to do before the Doctor Who Christmas special. Oh, wait, no, sorry.
When is that? I can find a convention to go to that.
Christmas, the actual Christmas.
If anybody is hosting an event on Christmas, we'd be happy to go to it, because what else are we doing?
So we'd like to thank, of course, Chansey and Mika and Derek and all of you guys for coming out and all of you for supporting and retweeting us and passing along our content. Our convention numbers are higher than they were the year before, and they were higher than the year previous to that. So we can't thank you enough. Our sponsors were really happy. Our friends in the industry were really jazzed for us. And if you like things like the game show, let us know, because I have more crazy ideas, as Jay already knows.
Oh, gosh. That was really... Yeah.
I'll have to tell Chansey about one of them, because I know she'll be down with one of the ideas. So you can do all that. But also thanks to Patrick Perdue for keeping the home fires burning while we were away and producing all that amazing audio. Thanks to Hims for sponsorship, and also thanks to Humanware for sponsorship. We couldn't have done it without them both, and that makes the world go around and pays for the hotel room. So that's how these things get done. So we appreciate our sponsors and our friends and all of you for listening. And whatever show shall happen. We've got so much more to come up before the end of the year, where we have Apple coming out with new stuff, Google coming out with new stuff, Microsoft coming out with new stuff. So all the, if you follow us and you've been doing this for a while with us, say it with me, all the big extravaganzas are yet to come. And of course, then Black Friday, when we get closer to that. And then, guys, it's going to be really fun to do the end of the year show where we have to vote on all these doggone stories. Yeah. I'm just saying, it's going to be really tough.
There was a reason I skipped out on last year.
Yeah. I asked Jamie Pauls before I came in. I was like, hey, you're at ACB. Do you want me to say anything? Do you have any stories? And they're just dot, dot, dot. No. It's like, yeah, it's going to be hard to do that this year. So if you got thoughts, send it in. Feedback at blindbargains.com.
That's going to do it, folks. We will see you next time. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2017.